I'm Chels.
I'm Claire.
And this is Experience,
a career stories podcast.
And today, we actually have our shit together.
That was the first try, Chelsea.
First try. You know what happened? I just put faith in you.
And you know what else happened? I had my shit together today because I am wearing actual jeans today.
Jeans made you do it?
Actually, that's a lie. I'm wearing jeggings, but I'm halfway there. Like, I'm not wearing leggings today. I was an adult and I wore pants with not as much give, so that it forced me to just stand up straight.
To recognize some things.
Yeah, to really come to terms with what being at home has done to myself.
You know, nothing causes like an actual reckoning like pants that button.
Yeah, that is so true.
You have to just
you feel everything. Yeah, there's a lot of feelings there, physical and emotional, that just they can wreck you. But
it can go both ways though, because since I've been on Adderall, like, I've been losing weight, so now all of my pants that button actually button on the first try, so it's like more invigorating.
Well, and a lot of it too is like you're moving around and getting shit done, so it's like yeah,
I am moving a lot. I'm moving so much and I'm like, why am I so sore? And I'm like, oh right, activity. In general, it's a good thing.
Oh god. Yeah.
But we're not talking about Adderall today or ADHD.
We are not.
No. Today.
That was last week.
It's going to happen again. There's going to be more. It's so big and so broad. And speaking now, we have not released that episode yet to the public. It's still sitting in the bag, because what we're trying to do is trying to get a few episodes in the bag so that if some, not if,
so
when something happens.
We're a little bit more organized.
Yeah, when something happens to us and our schedule gets crazy and one of us has to travel or work or whatever, like, we have, you know, like, a few weeks of leeway, because we want to stay on top of it and we want to do it right, because you guys are, like, actually listening. So, leading into today's podcast and subjects, we have been like trying to figure out how to do this in a way to where you're not listening to complete garbage.
We feel some personal responsibility now to give you a product that we are happy with and that you will enjoy.
Yeah, it's not just Claire's mom listening.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. my dog is... My
clickety-clacking, yeah, all over them hardwoods.
Mabel has come over to emotionally support me in this message. So I've been reading a book called Big Podcast by David Hooper. And Claire, you've been reading a book.
Yeah, not quite as detailed and professional. I just read the McElroy Brothers book.
Gotta love some McElroys.
Everybody has a podcast except you.
More apt, I think.
And I mean, honestly, one of the things that influenced me in doing this was listening to the McElroy Brothers and their fucking million podcasts they put out every week. But they're so they're just really fun to listen to, and I liked the back and forth that they had, and I know I had that with you, so it really influenced me wanting to do this with you, besides that you're my best friend and we just like to spill the tea all the time.
I love the McElroys. I didn't listen to the McElroys initially with my brother and me, but I did jump in with the very beginning of the Adventure Zone, and it, like, the balance arc, their D&D yes. arc is one of the most beautiful storylines I've ever heard, and listening to it in real time really made me feel like I was like a part of something truly special. So even though, like, you know, we're not really connected with them, it feels like we're family, because we like helped build something together. And that's my hope for this podcast. Honestly, that's like a huge ask.
I know, but that's how I feel too. Like, I want to make a connection with people.
Yeah. It's got to happen organically. It's got to be real. And additionally, we have to like get our shit together a little bit more. And
that's what we're doing. We're throwing these in the bag. We're organizing. Doing. Darn it.
So one of the exercises in my book, Big Podcast by David Hooper, helps us sort of define our message. what it is that we want to say. You've been listening. If you've listened up till now, you know that we have a lot to say, but we just don't always know exactly what that is. We just want to talk to each other.
It's just word vomit.
So he presented like three questions, and I sent them to you this morning, Claire, so you could think about it a little bit. And I actually wrote mine down in my badass experience, a Career Stories podcast branded bullet journal that I got for you and me.
Because this is what we do when we're ready to sit down and do something. We order products online, brand them, and give them to each other because that will influence us actually sticking to it. Because mm-hmm. I use my experience book too.
Yeah. I'm like, we're official. We have business cards and we have bullet journals. Don't fuck with us. We will still get distracted, I promise. Okay, so you ready for the questions, Claire?
I am ready for the questions.
All right.
I might answer first because I think my answers are going to be a lot shorter than yours because you actually wrote them down in your journal and have like had Adderall today and are organized as fuck.
All right, you can answer first. The first question is, what are we excited about?
Okay. Well, I kind of already answered this, but I'm excited about aggressively making new friendships and connecting with people. And I'm really sorry. My dog is in the background making like noises. So apparently I'm ignoring one friendship to my right now that needs attention. But no, I think that being able to connect with people on a basic level through mutual experience, because I think that's something that I've recognized is not, it's not something people cling to in work. It's mm-hmm. work is work, and you don't necessarily share your experiences there. So having this podcast and being able to bring a group of people together, I'm really excited for that. And what we can build out of it.
Okay. Is that your answer?
Yeah.
There's no wrong answer. I'm just making sure I'm not going to cut you off.
No, you're not. I was trying to keep it brief anyway. So, yeah.
Okay.
Cut it.
I'm excited about aggressive friend making, too. That's why we're such aggressive friends toward each other.
Yeah.
I love you so fucking hard.
I think it's enmeshed is the term our therapist used.
We're not going to talk about our codependency in this episode. Okay. So what I had was, I am excited about exposing toxic work culture for what it is and letting other people know that they are not crazy or entitled or wrong for finding it unhealthy and oppressive. I'm excited to talk about generational differences and how our parents' American dream doesn't really exist and that it's okay to try something different than what we were sold. I'm excited to talk about mental health. Very excited to talk about and promote mental health. And I'm excited to share unique stories of working in America from many different points of view.
Shit, Chelsea. I need some Adderall, I think.
You do. I've been telling you.
I need to organize my thoughts like you.
Well, we're recording this in the evening. It's 5 my time. It's like 8 your time. So it's going to wear off soon.
Okay. This episode will just taper off.
I'm just going to get real quiet.
Well, I think you verbalized everything that I would like to say in a very eloquent way. But I'm sticking to aggressive friend making, number one.
I'm also excited about tacos.
Yeah, same here. Same here. If tacos could be every meal of the day, that's the wish I would make.
I think you should do a day where everything's a taco. Start with like a waffle taco for breakfast. And
I do that every Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How did I not know that?
It's okay. We've been separated for the last 3 Cinco de Mayos. So
that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. Where can we add the greatest value and how can we do it in a unique way?
I think doing what we are doing right now as a podcast, but creating a central place for people to be able to voice opinions, facts in a safe space where mm-hmm. they will be listened to and it can be shared with others so that they know they're not alone. And I think we're a conduit for that. We can create the platform that people can really just bounce ideas off of each other and bounce experiences, really.
Yeah. Be themselves. Yeah. I mean, I feel like we come to the table being ourselves all the time.
Yeah. And to a fault.
To many faults. Sorry, Lisa, for all the cussing.
And poop jokes.
I'm not sorry for those.
Never.
Never. Okay. I wrote, I feel we can add the greatest value by demonstrating this message through our own stories and stories from people different from us. We are the only us, and our stories and views on them are unique. I believe I'm a good storyteller, so I can make these stories entertaining and relatable. We are authentic, and damn it, we're likable to the kind of people that we want to be liked by.
I like it. And we don't have to be liked by everyone, too.
No, that's we don't even like everyone.
Hell no. There are some shit people out there.
Yeah, I think if there were certain kinds of people who liked me, I would be upset about it. I worked really hard to not be liked by someone like you.
Oh, yeah.
Not you.
You can love yourself, but do not love me. Damn right. it.
Yeah, you do you. And that's it. All right. And third and final question. What outcome do you want for the people who listen to us?
Oh, man. See, I had troubles with this question. Because the outcome I want instantly was like, I want everyone to be happy because I'm a people pleaser. But honestly, I want people to know that they're heard. Mm-hmm. I think that's it. I want people to know that they can put their experiences out there and be heard and listened to and known. It's just, I feel like there's so many people out there that just feel so alone in their jobs, in their lives, that like nobody else is going through the same thing. And so many of us have to deal with the same bullshit every day.
Yeah.
That I want to be that, you know, central place where people can feel okay.
Like, hey, tune into experience to be reminded that you're not alone.
You're not alone.
Bullshit dynamic. You just feel like and think you are at work because that's its own culture that has been created to silence
you. Feel alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you feel alone about something, you probably feel some shame about it. And people don't like to talk about things that they feel ashamed of.
Yeah. And I think I, more than anything, I want to be the people I wish I had when I was working the jobs I was.
Yeah, that's the whole basis on which we formed our business.
Yeah.
We wanted to be who we needed when we were going through all of that.
Absolutely.
That's great. I love that, Claire.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I pulled it together in the end, damn it.
You did. Well, it was like the most important, really.
Because
while this is our podcast, it's really not all about us.
Yeah, surprisingly, you know, but... we're here for you guys, too. Absolutely.
I wrote to what outcome do you want for the people who listen to us? I want them to know that they have the power to stand up for themselves in toxic cultures. And I want them to know their rights and to be able to identify a toxic and damaging culture and eventually be able to avoid it. I want them to feel like it's possible to create the life that they want, even if it doesn't look like a typical American definition of success. And I want them to know that your job does not define you or determine your credibility or worthiness or respect. Your worthiness of respect. I want people to know that if they're feeling the squeeze, like something isn't right, number one, they're not alone, just like you, Claire. I just want them to know they're not alone. Number two, you probably have rights that you're not aware of. And I want to work a little harder on this podcast to figure out what those are.
Yeah.
I want people to know that they're people. And if you don't fit somewhere, there is somewhere where you do fit. And
yes.
You don't have to stay in a shithole that you feel like you need to wear a costume to fit in. The world is big enough. This country is big enough. Things are changing fast enough now that there are places you can go where you will fit in, where you will be the right fit. Or you can make your own thing that works for you. That's possible. That's the American dream, really, is that we still have the freedom to say, fuck this shit, I'm going to do my own thing and go do it.
Yeah.
So that's what I want. I want our listeners to get to a point, if they're in that oppressive, toxic situation, to where they can just say, fuck this shit.
Yes.
That would be a win for me if someone wrote in.
Yeah, honestly, I wouldn't mind getting free merch for people that just is a card that you lay down on your desk that says, fuck this shit, and you can walk out.
It's like a standard 2-week resignation form, or an effective immediately resignation form it's going to be a download, you know, like download this resignation form. Your level of anger you can pick your level of anger. There's thanks, but no thanks. There's good luck. And there's also fuck this shit. Goodbye. From the Experience Podcast.
It'll be our Experience Career Starter / Ender Pack. Yeah. It's like a little deck of cards.
Well, you know what the starter pack is going to have? It's going to have that purple ass cushion we talked about in starters.
Oh, God.
And a homesick scented candle.
Welcome to the rest of your life. I really ended that on a terrible note. That was lovely. I really, actually, yeah, I'm with you on that.
There is an organization that is accomplishing our goals much quicker and faster and effectively that we also want to talk about today.
That's because they're probably Zoomers, because they seem to have their shit together.
They are angry and fast.
Yes.
Let's get this shit done. Fuck this shit now. And I'm like, they are younger than me.
Yep. Yep. Don't even need Adderall. They just got it. It was in the water when they were born.
Where?
I want to live there. Yeah. So there is a really amazing organization that kind of popped up in the last month that really is doing a lot of the things that we want to put out there. And so I really liked your idea of just kind of putting them on blast on the podcast in a good way this week. And they are Change Berkshire Culture, and you can find them on Instagram. They have been having employees at various institutions around the Berkshires anonymously write in their experiences over the last year and the before times, as I like to refer to it, about working in these cultural institutions and the issues that they faced in nonprofits.
Yeah, specifically nonprofit cultural institutions. What are some of the bigger ones in the Berkshires?
So there's Mass MoCA, which is the Massachusetts Museum of Contemporary Art. It is a massive museum in the old Sprague Electrical Building. It's like a 25,000 square foot campus, I think.
Yeah.
So lots of employees, the largest one in the area for sure. And then there is the Norman Rockwell Museum. There is the Hancock Shaker Village, which if you aren't familiar with the Shakers, they were an offshoot of the Quaker religion, and they were focused on perfection in their everyday tasks. So they built this incredible like commune, and it's been turned into a working museum with lots of volunteers and lots of paid staff.
Yeah, you guys took me there when I visited, like one of the first times I came out there. It's like a working farm. They have animals and a beautiful like garden and...
So they have a their own food co-op for both meat and vegetables that runs, I think, almost year round. They have educational programs, cultural events.
Yeah, they've got a cafe there, a little cafe. They do like performances there. Mm-hmm. There's those cute little like writing huts, like WRITING writing huts that you can like rent by the hour or something, and
I think by the day, and you can sit and have like this cool enclosed space in nature, just writing, really. Mm-hmm.
And then there's a bunch of buildings that you can tour because they had an orphanage, I think.
So they adopted orphans and raised them there because the thing about Shakers is that they were celibate. So it kind of had an end game pretty quick.
Yeah, that's a real flaw in the business plan.
Unless you were really good at recruiting or adopted a ton of kids, you were, bad business plan.
You just kind of died out.
And I think there's only like 7 Shakers left alive right now. Wow. And they're all in Maine. So.
All right.
Yeah.
So there's that place.
But, I mean, honestly, it's a fascinating place. Really cool. But, again, very, very acute institutional problems with their boards and the makeup of it. Outside of that, there's a ton of museums around here. There's the Berkshire Museum in Pittsfield. There's a lot of cultural institutions around here. One of the nice things about the area is that it's so well financed because of the amount of wealth in the area, but mm-hmm. that also leads to the number one problem with nonprofits, which I will let you take on and kind of talk about a little bit.
Well, it's not just the Berkshires. I think any nonprofit worker listeners that we have, people who've worked in nonprofits, they're most likely familiar with the political aspect of it. Nonprofits are usually, they don't get a lot of their money from running these institutions. Most of their money comes from donations from the wealthy.
Yeah.
And what happens when you have a wealthy family donating to a nonprofit, they expect things like, hey, hire my good-for-nothing kid. Yeah. And give them a really prestigious title, even though they didn't fucking earn it and they're not qualified. And even though that there are people in this institution who have been here for many, many years and have all of this institutional wisdom and really good ideas and are qualified and have the experience or the degree or both, fuck them. Hire my useless fucking kid.
Yeah.
Or my no good son-in-law, so that when I introduce them at dinner parties, I can be like, oh, David's the director at the such and such.
They're on the board.
And so that he can take all of the reports and fuck them up and fake them and make it look like it's more successful than it is and give himself a salary that's like 30 times more than the average person that actually busts their ass there instead of having fancy fucking lunches at the golf club down the road to, you know, quote unquote, get another donation. Like,
yeah,
that is, it's so real and so stereotypical. It's not just the political aspect of it, though, in terms of like the wealthy and their families and the names and all of that. It's also the fucking abuse that occurs to the people who are actually running these institutions. And what Change Berkshire culture is doing is getting these stories, these experiences from people at all levels at these institutions who have witnessed or been a part of these abusive things. And there are so many. Every day there's more. Every day there's more posted.
It's so horrifying. So horrifying.
It's horrifying because we all kind of know that it happens, and we've always felt like there's not much you can do about it, which is just, you know, who among us does not have that story? Like, I know this is fucked up, but what am I going to do? What can I do about it? It's rich people. Can't do fucking anything about it, you know? Except Mass Mocha is now unionizing.
Yes, which is such an amazing outcome from this. And, you know, it could have been happening on the outskirts outside of Change Berkshire Cultures. But I love that it's kind of come to a head and has encouraged people to unionize.
Yeah.
There were so many stories out of Mass Mocha that were so, they were so typical of nonprofits.
I want to share a few of those.
Okay. So I have one here, and warning, there's some of these stories have descriptions of sexual harassment and predatory behavior. So just anyone who's sensitive or triggered by that, warning. While working as an intern at Mass Mocha, I was made aware that a former staff member who was regularly hired as a consultant was a sexual predator and that I should be careful around this person. I then learned from a junior staffer that they habitually sent unsolicited pictures of themselves to several staff and interns. This became a joke around the office, and I was praised for scarring this person into not harassing me. This person was later rehired and promoted to several positions of supervision and sustained these positions for years.
Fuck. That's like a perfect example of the good old boys club.
Yeah.
Perfect and then, example.
Yeah, it's so horrifying. So here's the same one, again, trigger warning. When I started working at Mass Mocha, I was introduced to a member of the production team who at first appeared warm and friendly. In the days following, he added me on social media and started messaging me daily, even if I didn't reply. His messages quickly turned alarmingly predatory, manipulative. He'd ask about my whereabouts at work, and he constantly victimized himself, even though minimal reciprocation was made on my end. After a couple of weeks of consistent virtual abuse, I confided in my boss and quickly learned that other women from most every department, past interns, and cafe staff had experienced almost the exact same pattern of predatory treatment and sexual abuse from him. Mass Mocha has a history of protecting predatory male staff members. This particular individual was defended and protected by the head of performing arts repeatedly. Interestingly, HR seemed reluctant to allow him to be hired back, but he somehow kept getting hired as a contractor show after show. This instance, among many others, shines a light on how acts of sexual abuse are poorly dealt with at Mass Mocha, and also on how disproportionate the power dynamics are, not just between leadership and lower-end staff, but even between members of leadership themselves.
I'm just... I'm seething.
Yeah, it's... just the amount of known abuse that's protected... is especially in the art world too. I have heard from multiple people who work in art institutions that encounter this sort of behavior as commonplace and, oh, that's just part of your job. It's disgusting. And again, there are pages of these experiences on this site. On this Instagram page, the crossover, we talked about the Hancock Shaker Village.
Yeah, I've got one pulled up.
I do too. If you want, is it the, I worked under the former director one? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I worked under the former director of events at Mass Mocha, now the current director of Hancock Shaker Village. She created by far the most toxic work environment I have ever experienced. Her personality was erratic, and I never knew which version of her I would have to deal with. When I started working for the museum, she was married to Mass Mocha's longtime, now former, director. Their marriage began to fall apart during my tenure, and I was caught in the awkward crosshairs of their separation. Having to put up with her abusive behavior one day, and then be her literal shoulder to cry on the next. I quickly became a punching bag and scapegoat for most things that went wrong that had nothing to do with me. I went above and beyond the former director of events, received constant praise and gifts from board members who were thrilled with my work, but depending on her mood, I would often be punished for fabricated infractions. One day, she and a former director of development sat me down in the conference room. Out of nowhere, they berated me for nearly an hour to the point of tears, told me I had no future in my chosen career field, and told me my work was subpar, among other completely wild and fabricated allegations. When pressed for examples to back their accusations, they could not cite a single one and then sent me home for the afternoon to punish me. There was a staff member in the performing arts department who sexually harassed multiple interns and female staff members. When his transgressions were brought to light, his entire punishment was to be sent home for an afternoon. My working extra hours, going above and beyond for the museum, producing solid work, and having board members praise me resulted in punishment equal to that of sexual harassment. Additionally, when I returned to work and asked to have a follow-up conversation and addressed all of their accusations against me, they made a complete 180 and said, "We never said those things. We love having you work here." This type of gaslighting became a commonplace experience for me until I finally left.
Oh, shit. That is hardcore gaslighting.
Yeah. And again, like, these are all anonymous, and I think they need to be anonymous because there's a lot of trauma behind that. And I'm glad that this Instagram page is bringing it to light. And it highlights a really toxic culture that isn't even an undertone in this career field.
No, you had, you know, when I was considering moving out there, you know, I had mentioned, I'm like, oh, I think I'd like to work somewhere like the Shaker Village. And your response was like, I'm not connected personally, but it's just like a pretty well-known fact that it's a pretty abusive culture to be a part of.
Yeah.
And, you know, and yeah, it is. Like, the one that I was going to share is about, I think, the same person, but it wasn't that one that you just read. I have a different one.
Share it.
Mass Mocha's former director of events and current director of Hancock Shaker Village had me pull quarterly financial information for the board to view at their annual board meetings. The numbers I pulled were always accurate and produced with the help from the former head of finance / HR. That's a red flag too, by the way. When your head of finance is your head of HR, that's fucking bad.
Yeah.
Why would you put an operations person in charge of HR?
That's not good.
This former director of events would always change the numbers around before they were distributed to the board to make it look like the events and membership programs, which she supervised, were more successful than they were. A lot of the time, she would completely outspend the event's revenue, but she always made it look like the museum was netting far more than it was. The board was always impressed with her fundraising success, which allowed her to amass more power and, in turn, ultimately enabled the toxic abuse of her employees without fear of punishment. With the board in her pocket, she was allowed to treat people as poorly as she wanted. Speaking of fudging numbers in financials, I also witnessed personal checks in large sums going between the former director of Mass Mocha and the former director of events, his former wife. A perfect example of the total lack of separation between professional and personal at the institution.
Yeah.
Like, that's commonplace for nonprofit board members who don't know what the fuck they're doing to just completely fudge numbers and take it to the board, which is full of other fucking rich people and people that they're related to, and be like, look what I did with no help and it's wonderful and fuck these little people, pay me more. Like, I just...
The pay disparity is, it's not good. Like, I looked at jobs at these various institutions when I first was looking at moving out here, and they're all just above minimum wage and well over 40 hours a week. And it's thankless work a lot of the time, unless you're really passionate about what you do. And there are a lot of passionate people out there who love the art world, who love working at these nonprofits, and who are just churned and burned out of there.
Yeah, they're burned out. Yeah. They're burned out fast. Okay, listen to this one. This past summer, Yo-Yo Ma performed a private concert at the Hancock Shaker Village for frontline workers in the Berkshires. It was a thank you for all the hard work and sacrifices that these workers have made keeping the county fed and healthy during the global pandemic. It was also live streamed on WAMC so that everyone could listen at home. Yo-Yo Ma was explicitly clear that he wanted only 35 frontline workers in attendance. At the time, state guidelines on outdoor events was 50 max, and capacity would be reached with essential staff and security. His team required an attendance breakdown to ensure guidelines were followed, and staff members were asked to stay off the grounds for the sound check earlier in the day. This was meant to protect everyone's health and safety. Despite this being a thank you for those risking their lives, the director found it necessary to offer an exception for board members. She informed them, with many apologies for the inconvenience, that this went against Yo-Yo Ma's wishes and that they would have to sneak in the back entrance prior to the performance. They could then watch the concert from the comfort of the ministry building, where the director had staff set up chairs within a historical exhibit. What is even worse is that certain board members felt entitled enough to accept this offer, believing that they deserved to attend. This went directly against the wishes of the artists and the spirit of the event.
There are so many stories like that on the page. And I think what I'd like to do now is kind of break down a little bit about why this behavior is wrong, which if you don't already know, you may have a little meter in your soul that is off a bit. We're here to help. And then also talk a little bit about unionizing and how it can help with situations like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, Claire, why is this wrong?
Why wrong? How bad?
What's so bad about that?
So obviously,
wait, I think that if we have to defend this behavior, we get to do it in a Moira Rose voice.
I don't know how you feel this is wrong.
Oh, David, it's only a little bit of enthusiasm for a violin experience.
How much can a COVID cost? $10?
I stepped in something wet. Is it blood?
Okay. No, seriously, this is entitled behavior that is entirely inappropriate and not at all with the spirit of the event, much less the artist who has volunteered their time and energy in order to make sure people who are actually on the front lines are rewarded for putting their lives at risk.
Risking not for their board fucking members. Lives.
Yeah. Not for board members who their closest interaction to COVID is how they can get the poor people out of the way so that they can listen to music for free. So that's one, you know, little thing that's wrong with it. But if you look at it as a whole, the power dynamic is so wrong. It's so, so wrong. Nonprofits should be there to fundraise money, obviously, to run an organization competently and effectively, and also be responsible for their actions and be able to answer for any inaccuracies. And it doesn't sound like there's any checks and balances here.
No, that's the deal with the cultural institutions and that culture of abuse in nonprofit boards. There are no checks and balances because the board is supposed to be the check and the balance. And that doesn't work if you don't have anyone speaking or advocating on the lower pay scale. People have it in their minds, like the stereotype in their minds, that, oh, you work for a nonprofit, it must be miserable, you must be burned out, and you must be underpaid. And because it's so common, it's like everyone has accepted it as like, well, that's just the way it is because that's the way it's been. And when you get familiar with something, like an idea or a stereotype, that working for a nonprofit is fucking hell and you're underpaid, but it's, you know, morally rewarding, then you're less apt to fight against it because, well, everyone knows. And if there were any way to make it not that way, then that would have happened by now. That's not the truth.
No. Collective bargaining. It's a great thing.
You guys hold the cards because the thing is, these wealthy, entitled, inexperienced board members or directors on the higher end of the pay scale who fake the numbers, who don't know how things actually work, who just take the money and have expensive lunches and do whatever the fuck they want, they can't actually run these institutions. The nonprofit workers need to run these institutions. The guy who cleans out the paddocks at the Shaker Village, the wonderfully talented gardeners there, the people who maintain the buildings and
the educators,
run the cafe, those are the people that are making it happen, and they're getting shit for pay.
And, or they're volunteers,
which is another bullshit escape for these institutions. I want everyone to understand that when wealthy people are donating to these institutions, that money is fucking there. The money is there to pay your workers what they are earning. The money is there to pay them appropriately and even well for the work they are doing that is preserving history, that is sharing art and culture with everyone else. Nonprofits don't mean no money. They don't mean non-money. No, nonprofits just mean we can't make a profit off of this and, you know, do something else with it and turn it into a capitalistic function. Nonprofit means it exists to exist and to share. The profits or the money that they make, it's there. It's just pooling at the upper level of the directors and managers and people who are related to board members, people who are related to the people who are donating these funds. You guys don't need that shit.
Yeah. Like,
you guys, you nonprofit workers, you experienced people, whoever is running Change Berkshire Culture, whoever is heading up the unionization of Mass Mocha, you guys fucking know this. And that's why you're making changes there right now. And I applaud you. You are standing up. You're doing it publicly. I hope we can put you on a national scale with this shit, because you need to teach everyone else in these nonprofits around the country how it's fucking done. Teach them how it's done.
Well said. And I would like to point out that there are actual movements around the country. There's Change the Museums, which is on a larger scale for the more recognized museums out there. But there's always the opportunity to start it in your own town. If you see this behavior, you have the power to organize and work to a better future for people who come after you.
Yeah. Step one, make friends aggressively.
Yes. Full circle.
Be your authentic self. Live what you stand for. Live what you stand for, and you will make the right friends, and people will be willing to talk to you. They'll be willing to share what they're struggling with because they know you won't take it back to the upper echelon and bitch them out and get them to kick you out and steal your salary.
Yeah.
Be
the aggressive friend. Don't be HR.
Step two, talk to everyone who might be going through what you're going through.
I can't say enough about transparency. Like, talking to everyone and being transparent about your issues, about your pay, about leadership. Talking is what needs to happen, because if you all hold it in and you don't share these things, it's not going to get better. They depend on you not to share.
I was fired for telling my team what I made, how much I made, and I knew how much they made because I helped decide that. And I was never okay with a big disparity.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I was fired, they were like, well, you told one, you know, your team members how much you make. And I said, yeah, I did.
That's not illegal. Well, and you can't be fired for that.
That's not part of our culture. And I'm like, well, it's a good thing you're firing me because it's part of mine.
Yeah.
You know? So you guys got to communicate. Communication is key. And then find a union that you can file with that might represent what you do. There are unions all over the country that represent different trades. And what you would be doing is filing your own chapter. Yes. Of that union for where you work. So Mass Mocha, they have filed. They have filed for unionization.
And you can follow their Instagram page, too, and support all the people who are putting themselves out there to really organize.
They all of them, they're holding up pictures. There's pictures of themselves, the Mass Mocha workers, artists, museum curators, volunteers, all of them are holding up these pictures of them saying, I support the Mass Mocha Union because, and sharing their reasons. So I know that they, you know, whoever's doing this, they've got a marketing person with them because they're marketing this well. You found out about this because you saw it on the front page of the Berkshire Eagle, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Which is awesome. I'm glad that they have, somebody advocating for them on a broader scale. And
yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's go follow them on Instagram for sure. But, mm-hmm. if they need help, support, shout outs, you know, do what you can.
Yeah. Just support them. Let these people know that wherever you are, you get it. You're going to support them and watch this. It must have felt good for these people to see that hit the front page of the Berkshire Eagle. That must have been a great big fuck you. We're serious to these boards. And
well, and there's a lot of people around here who are like, do you need picketers? Cause we can make some signs and sit outside Mass Mocha. And they're like, no, we want the museum to operate. We just want them to listen. And it's not come to that yet. And it's like, well, when it comes to that, you got supporters out here.
Yeah. Yeah. And they wouldn't have known that they had that unless they'd started talking about it.
Yeah.
Unless they went very public with it. I'm not going to say you can't. Being intimidated by the wealthy has created this entire culture.
It only helps the wealthy.
Only helps them be fucking pieces of shit. So, that's my takeaway. I just wanted to talk very quickly about unions. Some people don't know what unions are or how they work. And I just wanted to break that down really, really quickly. If your workplace is talking about unionizing, and there are pros and cons to unions, and I wanted to be clear about that, but the idea is that it's a group of people who want a bigger group of people who understand what you do to advocate for them to their employer for better pay, better hours. And the consequence of that is if that employer does not comply, then all of their workers quit and they're kind of fucked. Like, that's really expensive.
Collective for a bargaining. Company.
This is why Amazon is fighting so hard against unionization. These people have been abused for so long, and Bezos has it set up to where Amazon workers really can't talk to each other. If you're a picker, you're moving too fast to stop and talk. If you're a delivery person, you're on your own. And otherwise, you're in a call center. And this isn't conducive to these people being able to communicate or talk to each other. They also have a zero tolerance policy. And most states are now at-will firing states. So it doesn't matter why they would want to fire you if it's understood by anyone that you are talking about or even alluding to unionizing, you're fucking fired. That's it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that would be horrible for Bezos's bottom line, for all of these people who run Amazon to get together and form an Amazon workers union to say, you need to fucking pay us more and please stop turning us into meat robots.
And how about some health benefits?
Yeah. And we're going to have an Amazon worker come on at some point this season. I talked to him yesterday. He was telling me that they're putting cameras in the delivery vans now, and it tracks you, it biologically tracks you. If you yawn, you get an infraction for the day. If you drink coffee or anything other than water, you get an infraction for the day. Like, you're supposed to have all of your attention on the road. If you're going too slow, you get an infraction. If you're going too fast, you get an infraction. You get enough of those, you get a write-up. You get enough write-ups, you get fired. You can get fired for fucking yawning at Amazon. That's why you need a union. So, and you pay union dues because you have to pay experienced representatives to come and bargain for you. If you put someone who's not skilled or anything with negotiation and they're trying to bargain for you, they'll get run over and then the union is useless. A con to unions, though, is sometimes the dues can be expensive. And
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say sometimes your union representatives donate a lot of money to political causes that you may not agree with.
Yeah.
So, you know, you might be a member of a union. Some unions are a little gang-like where you cannot be a part of that trade or profession without being in that union, and you get bullied out or you lose business if you try to do it on your own. That's a con to a union too.
Yeah, I would say the cons are very human elements. People who have power and to use it and wield it against people. That is always an issue, but there by far and large, more good has come out of unions than bad. And when right. you see bad behavior, you fight bad behavior. It's I will always go to bat for unions because a lot of what I have in my work is because of their hard work. So it's nothing is perfect. We don't want to glamorize it. But we have seen a lot of good come from it, and I fully support the Mass Mocha Union.
I fully support the Mass Mocha Union, too. I fully support Change Berkshire Culture. I did connect with one of the people running it and asked permission to share. So we do have permission to share. It is all we're keeping it all anonymous. But yeah. I am so proud. I'm so proud to see this happening, and it's happening fast. And the longer that it goes on, every day, the stories that are coming out are getting more and more bold.
Yep.
And that's good. They are really starting to expose some true toxic shit. Things that people would be afraid to talk about if there weren't a lot of other people behind them.
Yep.
But the more support this movement gains, the bigger it gets, the bolder everyone is getting with coming out about their experiences. And yes, there's a lot of triggering stories being shared. It's not pleasant, but it can change. And, and I cannot wait to see what they do with this. So Change Berkshire Culture, Unionize Mass Mocha, you get a slow clap from Experience the Podcast. Good job, you guys. Good
awesome.
Job. My dog is wondering why I'm clapping at her. But that's it, I think, for today. Thanks for tuning in. We do have more fun things coming up. And that's all I've got. How about you, Claire? Oh, my Adderall's wearing off. Perfectly timed.
No, I think that's all I got. I'm going to go ahead and get changed into leggings and, you know, my casual wear. I'm excited to talk about our next episode next time. I didn't even take Adderall, but whatever I had is wearing off.
I believe our next episode, we will be talking about, what did we have planned?
We did so have many a plan. Things. We did.
Oh my gosh.
See, again, ADHD folks, get it diagnosed. Quick.
I do want to preface. So Kelly Sue had to reschedule. I actually offered to reschedule for her because she's incredibly busy and amazing and awesome and is working on a lot of projects. And I just didn't want to be a stress to her. So she is still coming on, but we did postpone it to make her life easier because I don't want to be a pain in anyone's ass. Unless you're rich, then I love being a pain in your ass. So there's that. And we will continue to try and give you more of what you want. And the best way for us to be able to do that is to know what you want and to know your stories. And to share those, you can email us at experiencecareerstories@gmail.com. You can send us a message on our website at experiencecareerstories.com, or you can communicate directly with us or comment on our stuff on Instagram, which is @XP_show. And we are here for you. So let us know what you want. Let us know what you need in terms of the podcast. Let's be
or clean. Any show suggestions, anything. We're things here for you guys. Happy. We're your memes. Platform.
We like a good meme. We're all about man. The good memes.
Meme us hard.
Maymays.
Or as Matt would say, maymays.
Maymays. Until then, stay safe, you guys, and support each other.
And support your local union.
Support your local union. All right, Claire, I love you. I'll talk to you soon.
Love you too. Good night.
Bye.
Bye.